بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعكم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, it's nice to be back here at the RRC. And we come back after the summer, and mashallah, there's a new addition up here at the front. It's starting to look more and more like a masjid. Alhamdulillah. Perhaps it's a signal for us. Maybe we need to get moving on that end as well. It's actually a rock climbing wall. It's not meant to be a mihrab for a masjid, just to be clear. Anyway, alhamdulillah. See, my brothers and sisters, many of us are concerned about our diet. We are concerned about the food that we consume. We are concerned about our physical health. You know, we're worried about eating foods with very high fat content, because of course it could be detrimental for our heart and our arteries. Some of us may be worried about cholesterol, others about sugar because of diabetes. And we have different types of concerns regarding our health, which is very important and it's very good. We also must realize, though, that our spiritual heart also needs to go on a diet. More so at certain times of the year. So in the summertime, for most of us, we need less exercise than we do in the wintertime. Our spiritual hearts, though, need a diet, especially in the summertime. Because our spiritual hearts get affected by what we consume. And one of the most lethal ways our spirituality is affected is by what we see, by what we take in with our eyes. While our eyes, when we see something, just like right now, you're looking and you're seeing things, your eyes take signals to your brain, and this is how we process whatever we see with our eyes. But if it's unhealthy for us spiritually, it can severely compromise our spiritual heart and our spiritual well-being as well. Now, many of us may be thinking right now that, you know, this doesn't really apply to me. I have nothing really to worry about. I'm a very careful person. I'm a person of good character. And these are not the types of things that I involve myself in. I'm not the type of person who looks at people who may be dressed indecently or who may be showing parts of their bodies that are not meant to be uncovered. So let us be clear that we're not just talking about that here. The topic of what we see with our eyes is much, much more broad. And it has to do with what we are consuming through our eyes at any given moment. At any given moment. Now, of course, the summertime can be particularly more difficult, especially when the weather is hot, like today, because people are dressed very lightly or barely so. But this also applies to what we watch on TV, on the internet, movies, the shows that we watch, and what our children watch as well. And we may be thinking that, you know, this is not an issue that affects people in our community, doesn't affect us, because mashallah, we are an educated community, we are a refined community, so these types of issues don't really happen to us. Other people go through stuff like that. We don't. But believe me, my brothers and sisters, that so many people within our communities are affected by this. Brothers as well as sisters, knowingly or unknowingly. And when we look outside our community as well, meaning our faith community, we find all types of people falling for this as well. Right? You find famous people, you'll find politicians, you know, older people with very high positions in society, very well respected. But this has to do with human desires. And from time to time, people get indulged, get involved in these things, and at times they are embarrassed when they are caught. You know, currently there's a lot of talk in the news, discussions about a hacking scandal, right? About pictures of celebrities, inappropriate pictures of celebrities being hacked from cloud servers. Now, unfortunately, there is a market for such material. There is a market, and not only are Muslims accessing this material, unfortunately, some Muslim countries are at the very top globally for such searches. So if you actually look at Google Trends and you look at the search trends from different countries, unfortunately, for many of these types of searches, countries that are known as Muslim countries with majority Muslim populations, overwhelmingly Muslim populations, are actually at the top of these searches. This should be a cause for concern. Now, unfortunately, this is an important topic, an important issue that we don't often touch, we don't often discuss for various reasons. So for starters, let's try to understand the importance of controlling our eyes, of restraining our gazes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِنَّ. They tell the believing men to lower their gazes. Tell the believing woman to lower their gazes. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, commenting on these verses in his tafsir, he mentions that this is a command from Allah to his believing servants to lower their gaze from looking at the things that have been prohibited for them. They should only look at what is permissible for them to look at and lower their gaze from forbidden things. If it so happens that a person's gaze unintentionally falls upon something forbidden, he should quickly look away. Now clearly, this is a very clear and explicit command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse that I quoted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has actually explained how various organs, how various parts of the body can actually commit zina, can actually commit fornication and adultery, including the eyes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-aynani zinahuma an-nadhar, that for the two eyes, their zina, their fornication and adultery is a lustful look, is a look at that which is forbidden. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly, and this is to be taken, to be noticed, take note of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly not only prohibited zina, but He has stated, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, don't even come near to zina. Don't even come near. So He didn't say, don't commit fornication and adultery. He said, don't even go near it. Now, as I was mentioning, it's not just internet searches that Muslims and Muslim countries are at the top of when it comes to these types of things. Unfortunately, in some places, it is a common experience for sisters in some Muslim countries, communities, predominantly Muslim countries, where sisters are gawked at, are stared at, even physically assaulted in the markets and in the streets. And you're probably thinking, okay, this happens here as well. But unfortunately, it's common. Common to the point where, in some places, women actually expect it. They know this is going to happen if they go out. And again, this is happening in places where the majority of people are Muslims, where the overwhelming majority of people are Muslims, unfortunately. So it must be clear that this type of behavior is disgraceful. This type of behavior is absolutely disgraceful. If it happens that if a gaze falls upon a person, someone who you shouldn't be looking at with those types of thoughts, if it's by mistake, then what should we do? We need to turn away and not savor the moment. And this goes for watching television as well, and movies as well, and everything else on the internet too. If it happens by mistake, it happens sometimes, you know, you're browsing something, you're looking for something, you click on some site, right, it was the URL was very similar, it turns out it was some spammy site, right, it was some site with malware or whatever, and all these different ads start popping up. Okay, it's by mistake. You want to close it as soon as possible, not take it as an invitation to further click on that type of material. The Prophet ﷺ even instructed Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali, karramallahu wajh, right? We know his status, his stature. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ya Ali, la tusmi'in nabratan nabra, fa inna laka al-ula wa laysat laka al-akhira." That, O Ali, do not follow a glance with another, for you will be forgiven for the first, but not for the second. Okay, if you happen to fall upon, if you happen to come across something which is inappropriate, then turn away and don't follow it with another glance. Now that doesn't mean that the first one you stay on the first glance for some time and then you say, okay, that one's forgiven, and then you stay away from the second one. It means as soon as you fall upon something like that, you turn away. Okay, you turn away. You don't start thinking and start, you know, processing it. Just turn away. That's what you need to do, right? Even in our weddings, sadly, even in our weddings, there is unfortunately so much unrestrained public display of beauty, which is clearly prohibited in and of itself. Okay, I'm not saying anything controversial, by the way. We read the verses of the Quran. It's very clear. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has very clearly addressed all of these guidelines. It's very clearly spelled out all of these guidelines, especially when it comes to the display of beauty and ornaments and jewelry and things that make people look good and so on and so forth. Okay, so that in and of itself is prohibited. But you know what happens? It attracts people who feast off that. People who know that they're going to find that at weddings, and then they go to these weddings. I'm not making this up. Right, this is what I've noticed. People have told me that there are individuals who will actually go to such gatherings where they know that our sisters will be well dressed, where they know that they will be displaying their beauty, and people will go there to check them out. And this is happening, and this happens, unfortunately. Okay, so this is a challenge to all the believers. This is a challenge to all the believers, that when you come across someone, something you should not be looking at, challenge yourself not to go back for the second look or any subsequent looks. And of course, it goes without saying, limit the first one as well. This is a challenge. So you come across something, someone walking down the street, some scene shows up while you're watching something or when you're online, or when you're talking to someone, any situation, challenge yourself that you are going to resist that temptation and you're going to turn away immediately and not turn back again. If you think, especially for the brothers, if you think you're a man, if you think you're strong, then restrain yourself. This is where true strength manifests itself, right? Like, for example, the Prophet ﷺ said about anger, right? That the person who can pick up and slam another person down is not the one who is strong. The strong is the one who can restrain his anger, who can control his anger. It's similar to this situation as well. That if you think you're strong, control yourself, restrain yourself from going back for that second look. And if you're not able to do that, then that's an area to work on. That's an area of weakness. So this is the true strength. This is a manifestation of true strength and true willpower. Now unfortunately, this does not just apply to men nowadays. This also is applying to women too. There are women, sometimes young women, who enjoy looking at other unrelated men, start idolizing them. Especially, you know, figures in pop culture, singers, famous people, Even within the Muslim community sometimes, unfortunately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us by telling us that He knows what we are watching. He knows what we are looking at. And Allah says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of the treachery, of the fraud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of the treachery, of the fraud that you commit with your eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about every single glance, every single look that you steal, that you enjoy by looking at something that you're not supposed to look at. And you think that no one else knows. Because nobody knows what you're actually, well, sometimes it's very obvious, but you know, most of the time you can get away with it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows very clearly what we are taking in, what we are thinking, what emotions are being triggered inside our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of all of this. And why is it a fraud? Why is it a fraud? It is a fraud because by looking at you, no one would imagine that you would do such a thing. And by the way, this problem cuts across different ethnicities, different religions too, of course, but is present within Muslims as well. Different levels of practice, right? So you may think someone looks very practicing, mashallah, but they have this issue that they're struggling with. Nobody knows about it, but they're struggling with it. You may think of someone who was very educated, married, children, single, different situations, struggling with it. Right? This is a challenge for many, many people, unfortunately. So no one would imagine that you would do such a thing, that you would be looking at such things, that you would have such thoughts in your mind or such emotions in your heart. So it's a type of fraud. People look at you and say, MashaAllah, you know, this is a person of good character, this is a person of good deed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going on. So it's a type of fraud, right, that the eyes are committing and that the person, that the body is committing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. The angels are recording every single glance and every single action. So every single sight, every single glance, anything that is taken in is recorded. And we will be held accountable for that by Allah Azza wa Jal. To the point that even our eyes may be ready to testify against us. To the point that even our eyes may be ready to testify against us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about His enemies. He says, حَتَّى إِذَا مَا جَاءُوهَا شَهِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ سَمَعُهُمْ وَأَبَصَارُهُمْ وَجُلُودُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Till when they reach it, meaning Jahannam, their hearing, meaning their ears, and their eyes, and their skins will testify against them as to what they used to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions the hearing and the seeing and even the skin of a person. That yes, it may very well have the ability to testify about what they were used for and how that person had taken advantage of them or taken misadvantage of them. So now imagine, my brothers and sisters, that you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your eyes are speaking and they are revealing, they're downloading all the data that has been recorded, everything that was processed through these eyes in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single little thing, no matter how indecent, no matter how embarrassing, no matter how regretful, all of that is being spoken about by these very eyes in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The things that you will look at while walking down the street, by looking at people and billboards, checking out people at parties, scenes on movies, on TV, on the internet, especially that you would sneak and look at because it's become easy now, right? Before you had to go through a lot of trouble. Now you had to go into your history and your cash and then you had to empty it out so that people, nobody would find out what was actually going on. Now everyone's got mobile devices. What are the chances that someone's going to go through your phone and look at what you have there? You could change the settings so that it clears out, right? You can go into incognito mode, right? You could go into privacy mode so that all of this information is not recorded anymore. At least for the people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recording it. The angels are recording it. So unfortunately, it has become much more accessible now because of all these mobile devices, even for children. You know, we give children mobile devices. Yes, they need cell phones. They need an iPod. They need an iPad. They need tablets. They need this and they need that. Subhanallah, I've heard of cases where children are looking at such material while at school. Right? They've got data on their phones. They're downloading stuff. They're curious. They want to know. They come across something. They have a question. They Google it. They come across material which is inappropriate. And this is reality. This is what is happening, unfortunately. So all of this is being detailed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what face are we going to show, my brothers and sisters, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to everyone who is there on the Day of Judgment? So let us not deceive ourselves thinking that it has no effect on us and our faith. There is a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the scholars have mentioned that there may be some issues with this chain of narration, but the message has been accepted by scholars and has been written in books that an-nazratu sahmun min sihami iblis, that the furtive glance is one of the poison arrows of shaytan. And the scholars have mentioned this, regardless of the authenticity of the Islam of the hadith, right? That it is a type of poison. The glance is a type of poison. The inappropriate glance is a type of poison which spreads in the body and can leave parts of the body, right? Not the physical body, but the spiritual body, dead. So poison goes into the body, spreads into the physical parts of the body, and can affect that. In the same way, these glances are like poison that go into a person's spirituality, unfortunately. It causes spiritual weakness, spiritual death even. A person can be physically alive, but spiritually dead. There's been so much garbage and pollution that has gone into them that physically they're breathing, they look like they're alive, but their spiritual hearts have become like stone, have been covered with dirt and pollution. And no good that they come across can awaken them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being in that state. Okay? So iman can weaken because of that. And the effect that we see is we find that this type of behavior is actually, and this is happening, and I see this happening, and you may even notice this one. It's cultivating false hopes, false desires, and false fantasies, distorting our perception of reality. So then you find men and you find women, our brothers and sisters, and it's sad. I feel like crying when we see the situation sometimes. You find our brothers and sisters with shallow expectations of one another. And they've taken in all this material, all this junk, all this garbage. And then they get married and they expect that as part of their married life. And they don't get it. And when they don't get it in their marriage, then it causes marital discord. It causes problems, unfortunately. To the point, and I was shocked when I learned this, that you see, this is an industry which is expanding. The bottom line is money. Okay? They don't care about anything else. They don't care about morality. They don't care about what happens to your marriage. They don't care about what your kids take in. It's all about money. Okay? People's desires provoke them to look at this stuff, and it sells, and they make big money. Okay? Now, just like any good business, they're thinking about how can we expand our market now. Okay, so we've captured many of the men. We've got them. They're taking in this material. Where do we expand now? How do we grow? Woman. 50% of the population, approximately. Now it's being targeted at women. To the point, as I was saying, I was shocked when I learned that there are cases within Muslims that wives will actually go on the internet to learn, to understand what their husbands want. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azhim. This is the situation that we've got ourselves into. This is tragic. This is a tragedy that couples will be learning about married life from this garbage on the internet, unfortunately. So the question is, how did we get ourselves into this situation? How did we get ourselves into this gunk? And it's very addictive. Fall into it once, leads you to doing it twice, and then thrice, and the cycle continues. And it's actually classified, or people have written that it actually acts like an addiction. It's like an addiction to the point where it can change, rewire your brain and how you think and your emotion and your desires to the point where a person starts becoming desensitized to all of these things. It's the effect of cumulative exposure. A bad scene becomes not so bad, it becomes normal. And the type of behavior that comes with it also becomes normalized as well, making it easier for a person to head down that path of sin. So my brothers and sisters, be extremely careful about yourselves, about your families, about your loved ones, about your children, and warn them about these things. If a question comes up, don't shove it under the rug. These are issues that need to be addressed. Our children need to know about the dangers that are available, that are present on the internet and in other places. Now the question is, how do you push back? So someone is involved, someone is caught up in this test, in this trial, how to push back, how to resist that temptation. It can be very, very challenging. A few pointers, inshallah, and we'll wrap up. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the remembrance of Allah is the best defense. Don't underestimate the power of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite du'as regularly, do dhikr regularly, and you will see that it's actually difficult to sin when you're constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If your heart starts to become awakened, right, the dust gets brushed off and it starts beating with Allah's name and remembering Allah constantly, then it becomes harder and harder to sin. Remember accountability. We recite, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the master of the day of judgment. It's not for other people, it's for us. We are the ones who have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so remember accountability, be responsible for your actions. You will be taken to account for every single glance and every single second spent in these things. Is it actually worth it? Is it actually worth it? Spend time with those, and we talked about this when we talked about company and friendship. Spend time with those who are of noble character and modesty. People who stay away from these things, who don't talk about these things, who don't look about these things. I don't mean talk about these issues, but talk about this type of indecency. Avoid friends that are into inappropriate jokes and watching immoral material and immoral movies. Avoid watching TV or surfing the internet when you're alone. Visiting malls and parks and going to such places alone. Try to do it when other people are around, when you know that you may be discovered. And for brothers, remember your mother and your sister. No one would want their mothers or sisters to be treated in such a way. So don't do it to the mothers and sisters of others. And finally, increase your good actions. The advice of the Prophet ﷺ, remain conscious of Allah and fear Him wherever you are. And follow a bad deed with a good deed, which will wipe it out, and behave well towards people. So if you find yourself doing something like this, immediately try to do something good after it. Do some zikr, recite salah, do something good, give some charity, do something. Something good is better than no good, of course. And there's also therapy available as well. There's help. Sometimes people come to me and they say, Imam, you talked about this. I actually have this issue. What can I do? It's embarrassing, but it's a lot better to seek help and have the desire to change yourself than to continue in that same rut, in that same cycle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to exert control over our gazes and avoid all of that which has a negative impact on our faith, on our souls, and our lives. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A couple of announcements, inshallah. Inshallah, we have a brother here who's visiting us, and he's running he's a candidate for mayor in the election, so he'll speak, inshallah, briefly after the salah. We also have a brother who just told me before this talk that his brother in Bangladesh has passed away. His name again is Abdul Muhammad Abdul Khaliq. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu that He grants him forgiveness and increases, gives him the highest station in Jannah, inshaAllah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens his grave and showers his mercy upon him and gives patience to all of his loved ones, inshaAllah. We are coming out, as we announced a little bit earlier, with a schedule of programming. So inshaAllah, the first event, which is going to be happening regularly then, is going to occur next Friday. So next Friday, inshaAllah, we will start off with a documentary viewing, inshaAllah, for the community, and a discussion afterwards. What we're going to try to do is pick topics of importance that we need to learn about and we should be discussing. So inshaAllah, we'll do that starting next Friday. And then from that, we'll be phasing in new programming, and inshaAllah, these events will then be happening on a weekly basis, and we should be looking at 2 to 3 events every week, inshaAllah. We also have the weekend school starting up, so that's the Hikmah school, and we also have the Medina Quran school. So if you're interested in registering your children, great place for the children to be, please visit our website at fanaticmuslims.ca. Any other announcements? No? Okay. Jazakallah khair.